Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Wednesday, February 9th. Welcome to Menace in the Morning. Myself and Chris Drew here to casually, well, not usually casually. I guess sometimes it gets a little heated, a little hot in here, but we're going to debate and talk about kind of the current events of sports, not just football, mostly football, football centric, but also kind of expand our horizons into other sports and hot topics that are going on in society. And we got a bunch of stuff to talk about today, surprisingly. This off season, Chris, so far has not been short of things to discuss. There's controversial things going on constantly to discuss. I mean, a number of things, right? Michigan has a new D coordinator. Josh Gattis is finally started posting about the U and in a bitch move turned on comments. I mean, we got a bunch of stuff going on. So before we get to it, though, we got to get this Super Bowl big board full, right? And if you aren't familiar with it, it's a squares board for the Super Bowl, and you buy a square. It's a random square. You get put this randomizer puts you on the board, and then the randomizer picks the numbers, and we put out the board. Those numbers at the top, that's the final score, the last digit, not final score, the last digit of the winning team. And on the left side, there's a number associated with your square that's the last digit of the losing team. If at the end of the first quarter, you have both digits, last digits, you win. Right, it's $100 a square. After the first quarter, you win $500. At halftime, if you have the score, you win $1,000. Third quarter, you win $500. And final score, if you hit the final score with those last two digits associated with your square, you win $3,000. So it's our chance to raise some money for our charitable stuff we're doing. The Zone 6 Fund is the main beneficiary. Is that the word? Mm-hmm. Of our charitable benefits, we've done a couple other things. But most of the money goes straight to the Zone 6 Fund. But either way, if you want to have a fun, play a fun kind of gambling game with the Super Bowl, chance to win up to $5,000, all you got to do is Venmo Cameron Media, $100, lock in your square, and worst case scenario, you have $100, you donate $100 to charity. So that's what we're doing, Venmo Cameron Media. Check it out on social media. If you need more information, feel free to hit me up, Zach@menace2sports.com, that's Z-A-C-H and the number 2. All right, Chris, house cleaning, housekeeping, whatever you want to call it, out of the way. What do we need to discuss today?
Oh, man, I'm excited, dude. First of all, it's been really good. This offseason in college football has kind of felt like in 2012 in the NBA, the offseason became such an event that almost every single offseason after that was almost as exciting, if not more exciting, than the beginning of the NBA season because there's 82 games, so like you go through these lulls, but the offseason was just so fun and exciting. And so I do want to dig into that for a little bit. But Zach, dog, I have a question because like as kind of you've brought me into this world, how do you manage to maneuver through all the crazy narratives and like the amount of like hate and like weird stuff said about you? Like how do you maneuver that in total?
It's been a process. It's most of the time I just ignore it. Every now and then I'm feeling frisky and I want to just entertain these trolls, but most of the time you just ignore it. I've never blocked anyone until recently. That one crazy ass dude that just every time I tweeted wanted to talk about I owed child support. And it's just hilarious. Like I know it's all driven by my ex-wife. Like how would these random people, and it's not random people, right? It's someone that she knows and discusses with. Cause I mean, this guy had personal court documents, with my kids' birth dates and stuff like that on it that you can't just access as the public. So she sent it to him. So that should be red flag number one. Like, why does this guy, random troll, quote unquote, have personal documents? There's only one way, right? I didn't send them to him to call me out. It's obvious where it all came from. And it's just hilarious. So that one guy was just relentless. And after a while, I got sick of like, just every time I tweeted seeing it, I don't really care. Here I am. I'm talking about it. Like I'm not shying away from it. It's a really simple concept. And I don't know why it's so hard for these trolls or people to understand. I think it's because they're so miserable in their own existence. They like to, try to put other people down, but it doesn't put me down. Right. My ex-wife got me fired And after that, she has refused continuance after continuance to go back to court to adjust our support agreement because she was getting $6,000 a month. Well, once you get fired and don't have an income, you don't pay someone $6,000 a month. Like that's not how it works. You have to have the income to justify that $6,000, but she does not want to go back to court because she wants this narrative out there. He's six figures behind on child support. Bitch, no, I'm not. Like, it's all going to go away the minute we go in court because it's all based on a $400,000 a year salary that I didn't have anymore. So we're just waiting to get in court and that'll go away. And that's why I'm not afraid of it. I pay for everything for my kids. So it's certainly not about, you know, what a shitbag not, you know, supporting his kids. I pay for everything. I pay for all their athletics. I pay for clothes. I pay for school. I pay for school lunches. I pay for all of it. So it's just it's a lazy narrative. So I guess how I deal with it is most of the time I laugh or I screenshot it and document it because at some point this will, you know, she'll have to pay for instigating these trolls, mm-hmm. and giving them documents. And it's hilarious. They put out like a custody document and they only put out like the first page that says she's named like the legal custodian. They don't go to the next page or the page after that details who gets them when and how much time I have them because I have them over half the time. So she has a title. I have the kids. You do that math. So it's just, it's all calculated and I try to ignore it, but there's times where I'm like, yeah, fuck it. Let's go. I'm ready to talk some shit. Let's go. I'll entertain you, which is stupid. Right. But I just can't help myself sometimes.
Well, you're a shit talker, dog. I love it. Like, Zach's going to become my big brother a little bit. Zach loves talking shit, and I'm here for it sometimes. But I'm not going to lie, man. Myself.
You know, it's my instant reaction. Like, I just, whenever anything happens, I instantly try to, like, talk some shit. It's just more fun that way, I think.
Yeah, no, it is more fun. It'll have me sitting here questioning everything because, you know, we do speak a lot, obviously. No, man, I was just asking because, like, there was that one Letterman Row thread about me and I was, like, in my feels last night drinking some wine like a bitch, dude. I couldn't believe it. That's kind of when I start to put these things intact. But I do want to kind of move more to football. You know, you put up on Twitter that athletes need to have a plan B. Tom Brady did, you know, that someone he had a resume or something that you posted. And his degree was in general studies. And you kind of sounded off about that. So I'm going to give you the floor now again. Talk to me about these general studies, Zach.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Tom Brady, when he was going through pro days and stuff like that and his combine workouts, it wasn't really going well in the offseason. So he obviously, if you read his resume, what I thought was impressive was, you know, he's a starting quarterback at Michigan, but still every summer he's doing something, right? He's interning somewhere. He's volunteering somewhere. He's getting experience somewhere because he's working on that plan B. Like he didn't know if he was going to be an NFL player. He was going to give it his all. But if he didn't want to just be like, ah, shit, I got to work at Applebee's and try to figure out what to do with my degree. Like he was out there applying himself to network and build a foundation of connections that would hopefully give him job opportunities in the future. And so I think that's very important. I used to talk to my players about it all the time. We used to force it. I mean, Austin Mack did internships in New York City. Like Terry McLaurin went out to Nike, like Paris Campbell went to ESPN. Like I pushed my players hard to use the leverage they have as current athletes and go out and leverage that into real life connections and relationships that at some point might be beneficial, right? And I even told my players, and this is important for all athletes to think about, is it doesn't mean one that you don't believe in plan A or two that plan A is not going to work. Like Paris Campbell goes to ESPN, he might not have a great NFL career and work for ESPN, or he may have, you know, a Hall of Fame NFL career, and because of his connections, he might get on ESPN as a famous player, right? On TV. So you and Terry McLaurin with Nike, like that might lead to a endorsement deal, or when he's all done playing, it might be, you know, he might have a shoe, he might have a glove come out, the Terry McLaurin glove. Like it doesn't matter, but he's leveraging the platform you have, leveraging your brand, building your brand, and, you know, getting those connections. So I thought it was really cool that Tom Brady was doing those things. And obviously now in his career, he might have relationships that now he wants to do a charity event, right? He doesn't need a job, but he might do a big charity event in Ann Arbor and all those companies, you know, donate to cover the costs or what it's whatever it is. Those relationships can be beneficial in the, you know, moving forward one way or another. Now the general studies thing is a huge thing that I've talked to recruits about since I got to Ohio State and found out about it, because general studies is the main program that Michigan's football players are in and graduate in because it is a good school, a really good school. So it's hard to get into business school. It's hard to get into the, you know, law school. It's hard to get into pretty much every school. So they created this ruse degree program called General Studies, where you basically take a bunch of general classes for 4 years. And if you achieve the credit hours, you get a degree. Now, it doesn't matter what it's, I mean, you have no foundation to go get a job, right? It's not like you're a specialist, like, oh, this is a licensed therapist now. No, you literally just like, hey, I made it through college. Like that's what it means. And you still can get jobs, but it's more about what we talked about with Tom Brady, where he's out there building connections and now he has his degree and they got to know him and they think he's a good worker and they think he provides value. And then they hire him, not because of his expertise, but because of their experience. Right. And I've encouraged recruits from the time I talked to the first recruit to really research a school, because every school is going to sell you a bill of bullshit. Right. Everyone's going to sell you on academics. Michigan's a great academic school with top academics, Harvard of the Midwest, all the bullshit. But then you come down to it, you're like, yeah, but Rashawn Gary got a general studies degree. The fuck is Rashawn Gary going to do? Is he going to go get a job? Like, who's hiring Rashawn Gary? I mean, maybe a Michigan alum that just wants to say, I hired Rashawn Gary, but that's going to happen anywhere you go. Right. So I've always challenged recruits to do your research. Schools used to put their degree in the player's bio. So I would go through the roster and make a breakdown and give it to recruits. Be like, hey, here's Ohio State's breakdowns. Here's all the degree programs. We have scholarship athletes. And you have to say scholarship, because Michigan will be like, oh, we have, you know, six players graduated from the business school. And it's all a bunch of like short little white kids that are kickers that are walk-ons. And you're like, come on, bro.
But
like,
they identify as biracial.
Right. Like come on, man. Show me Hassan Haskins, his degree program. Is he getting a finance degree? And he might be. I'm not trying to say anything negative about him, but that's how college programs operate. They find angles and find, you know, talking points to sell to recruits, and they highlight them. So it's smoke and mirrors a lot of times. I was always all about transparency in recruiting, and I always encouraged guys to Google anything that I say or any coach said, because I knew that Google would back up what I was saying, because I was being genuine, and most people are not. And I think that's why I was able to have success in recruiting, is players really just want authenticity. Real. And when they're getting fed a bill of bullshit and someone else kind of helps them see that, they instantly are drawn to the person that helped them see it. Like, damn, I talk about Jalen Holmes all the time. Florida State was talking about academics to him nonstop. And then I just sent him a Google link of APR scores and graduation rates amongst minority athletes. And he was like, what the fuck? I was like, hey, I'm not saying anything. Florida State might be great for you, but what that guy's telling you, he's full of shit, bro. And immediately he was like, yeah, I'm out. And he was done with Florida State immediately.
Heard that. I do want to stay on UM. They now have a new defensive coordinator, Jesse Minter from Vandy. So now Ohio State and University of Michigan both have new defensive coordinators. It's going to be crazy November, man. One of us, I think, is one of the teams is upgrading. The other one, I don't know if they're upgrading. I haven't watched enough Vandy. But the coaching moves and all that in Michigan have made things really interesting. You have any thoughts on Jesse Minter or kind of the direction of the two defenses or programs, Zach?
I think it was Jim Harbaugh just wanted continuity. That's what it is, right? Jesse Minter runs this pretty much the same stuff as Mike McDonald did. And so he's bringing him in to keep the system going. He obviously got the stamp of approval from good old John Harbaugh. And so that's what he went with, right? He was really happy and pleased with his defense. Didn't want to go out and get or try to get a big DC name that's going to run something completely different. He wanted continuity because those players had already learned and been submersed in that defense, and he didn't want to change. So I think it's a smart hire. I want to say that initially. I think it's a good call. I don't know how good the Jesse Minter is. I mean, they were 118th in the country in total defense, and I understand it all, right? They have far less players than the competition in the SEC. Like, they weren't going to finish top 20, but maybe like 68th, right? Like maybe 73rd. 118th is really low. But I get it. I get the struggles he had. So it's a big question mark and a big unproven for him. But I understand the move, and I don't disagree with the move. But this guy, you know, he better come out guns a blazing, because the guy on the other sideline in November 26th, has a proven track record, a dominant resume of success, and he just upgraded his chess pieces. Right? He just got better players to run a system that was top five in the country. So it's gonna be fun to watch. Two new D coordinators. I know that Ryan Day and CJ Stroud are probably licking their chops when they watch Vandy tape. Unfortunately, I don't think that Michigan's going to have Vandy players running around, but it is a move that I think was probably the right one, but not a lot of sexiness to it.
You know, it's interesting because I when that DC job came open, the one thing I thought about constantly was whoever gets that job is being set up for an absolute bloodbath by my estimation, because we've already established that you've said, quote unquote, Ryan Day's a competitive son of a bitch. And the way that game ended, obviously, in Michigan, it's going to be something that's on his mind that he's thinking about, that he's going to want to get a second crack at. So I don't think it mattered who the DC was. I think next year it's going to be something very violent in Columbus, especially with the firepower this offense has. We've established that we think that this offense should be even better than last year's offense. And with the added factor that, you know, all those coaches were running their mouths like crazy. I mean, I would think that Ryan Day's going to want to break every the game record in terms of offensive production. So I'm a little bit worried about whoever the DC there is. I think it's going to be interesting.
You know what it did too is it gave them a scapegoat for that, because I agree with you. I think it's going to be an offensive explosion, and if Ohio State can transform their defense, it'll be an absolute bloodbath. Obviously, a lot of that is yet to be seen, but I think with the loss of personnel at Michigan, it didn't matter who's the D coordinator, with how explosive and strong Ohio State's offense should be, you know, barring they all stay healthy. It's going to be ugly. And now with Mike McDonald leaving and Jesse Minter coming in, he's the perfect guy to blame, right? Like, well, we were awesome last year. We sucked this year. Fuck this guy. It's like, yeah, but Mike McDonald would have sucked too. Like, that's what you don't understand. It's a personnel driven game. It's about the players. And if you don't have as good of players, I don't care what scheme you run, you're not going to be as good. So this poor guy is really in for a lot of criticism, I will say.
Yeah, and when you and I talked about it yesterday, Jimmy's and Joe's trump X's and O's. X's and O's do matter, but it's all about the Jimmy's and Joe's. And a prime example is that 2013 Washington Redskins team that had four now head coaches on their coaching staff, and they went 3-13. So that's more future head coaches than they had wins that season, which is absolutely insane. Miami has made some moves lately. The U might be back. I'm going to ask you about that in a sec. Josh Gattis is finally spoken up. He's, you know, made his first social media post about the University of Miami, but his comments are turned off. He's taking a little bit of heat. He's hearing it. He's got some rabbit ears from what it sounds like.
Yeah. I tweeted about it. I was like, what a bitch move. But I mean, I don't get it. It's a complete bitch move. You're a football coach. Like turning off the comments just looks bad, right? So I don't understand doing it. He probably just didn't want a bunch of Michigan haters on there talking shit, but I don't know why he would care. Like, they're going to talk shit. You left their school. And the one thing that was funny is, and no one was malicious, but when I made that tweet, people responded like, well, damn, your Menace to Picks platform has the comments turned off. So this is kind of hypocritical. And I will answer that. Yeah, I agree with the sentiment. The reason why we had them turned off is because people were giving out our picks, like that people that, you know, a bunch of people paid money for. They were going on there, I think, because they were salty because they lost a bet. Maybe, I don't know. They were going on there and giving out the picks. And I'm like, that's not good for that business model, right? It's a gambling tool that people use. And if you just give it out for free, why would anyone subscribe, right? And then I have all these people working hard for little money. So that's why I did that. I wanted to put that out there. But yeah, I think it's a cowardice move. Like, come on, man. All you have to do is be successful at Miami, and no one can talk shit about the move, right? Especially like we talked about on defense, their offense at Michigan has the potential to kind of slide back a little bit. So I think it was definitely a bitch move. Now to the staff, I think what Mario Cristobal is doing is outstanding. And people were nervous. They didn't have faith in him, right? So when he didn't make a DC hire, didn't make an OC hire, he's really sitting there trying to get big time names to come in. And boy, he's done that. He has done that. And I think Jamel Adai you look at Georgia secondary last year, they were outstanding. And so that was a huge get, huge hire. Now that it almost gives them a national championship when they're recruiting corners that they don't have, right? Because that guy's like, well, you see what I did at Georgia, right? Now we're doing it at Miami. In South Beach. So Athens to South Beach. Now you got the beach, you got the girls, you got all that. No, not that Georgia doesn't have girls, but I think it's a big time hire. And I think Mario has done things the right way, even though, you know, a lot of fans were getting restless. he's taking his time and making sure he gets the best of the best to build an all-star staff to try to bring Miami back.
Yeah, no, he's doing a really good job, in my opinion. And this offseason has been really a slam dunk for them. Being in Miami, they're going to have access to a hotbed of hyper elite talent, especially at the skill position level. And they now have some good young recruiters. Hopefully, you know, that they don't sleep with any moms, of course. But hopefully there's enough girls in Miami that Josh Gattis will be just fine. Lincoln Riley said, "We did not take players from OU. We took players from the transfer portal." Zach, is he becoming college football's newest villain?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he definitely is. I mean, it's funny how he said, like, those kids just opted to go in the portal, and then they were logo lists, right? Now he could recruit them because it's like, I'm not taking kids from Oklahoma. Those Oklahoma kids went in the portal, and I'm taking them from the portal. It's like, okay, that's like saying I didn't take your girlfriend from you. I saw her out at the mall without you, and that's why I hooked up with her. So really, I took her from the mall. I didn't take her from you. It's like, what? But the girl went to the mall because I was going there, right? Like, it's like, I was going to the mall. She went to the mall. We hooked up and I took her from you. That's what happened. Those kids went to the portal because they knew their head coach just went to USC and they might want to go there. So him leaving Oklahoma and then recruiting those kids from the portal absolutely is taking them from Oklahoma. There's no other way to cut it. Those kids could have went back to Oklahoma. And I'm not saying he's wrong for doing it. It's a dog eat dog world out here in college football, especially with NIL in the portal now. I mean, it's cutthroat. You got to watch out, you know, take care of your own, and you got to win games, especially making the money he's making. You got to win now. So I'm not saying what he did was wrong, but don't be a bitch about it and come out and meet in the media and be like, we didn't take him from Oklahoma. We took him from the portal. Like, motherfucker, you took him from Oklahoma. Shut the fuck up. Like, yes, you did. And it's fine. It's the name of the game nowadays. You might not want Oklahoma fans to hate you, but they already do. So I don't know what you're preventing here. Just be honest about it. You took those kids from Oklahoma because they wanted to play in your system and you want to win a national championship. That's all you had to say.
When I heard the quote, Zach, it sounded like he was trying to avoid, you know, running into any trouble with tampering, because the little smile he let off after he said it was like, oh shit. Like this dude knows he's a villain, and he knows that what he's done to Oklahoma is absolutely not the move for a place that gave him his first big time shot at being a coach, that, you know, where it took care of his family, that handed the keys to him when he probably didn't have the resume to deserve having the keys handed over to him. And for him to just kind of, it's a backstabbing move, and he's kind of looking in the camera and smiling at it. And USC, I mean, I think it fits USC pretty well. And now look, with kind of the direction of college football, with the transfer portal, with the NIL stuff, you got Texas with Sark. They have big money boosters. They seem like they're, you know, trending upwards. You have Miami with Mario Cristobal. I mean, that's going to, feels like that could be something. And then USC with Lincoln Riley. Zach, is this returning to like the old college football days, where has the NIL and the portal allowed for these old school powerhouses, these blue bloods back when I was, you know, young and getting into college football? Is this giving them a window to get back into the big picture, or is this some offseason fool's gold?
I mean, right now it's just offseason fluff is what it is. It's a lot about nothing, but they're making moves, right? They're making moves that they haven't previously made. So it definitely has given them an avenue to get back to the top, right? Or at least back in competition. Like Miami, Texas, USC, they've been out of competition for so long that it's given them kind of a pathway to get back in the conversation. Like, they're not, it's going to take a lot, and it's going to take success. At the end of the day, they got to win games, right? Miami has, there's no better opportunity than Miami and USC. Well, shit, and Texas. I mean, they don't play in the SEC. They don't play in the Big Ten. They're not playing against as high a competition as Ohio State or Alabama or Georgia, right? They're just not. So they need to win games and show that momentum in recruiting, so kids can say, damn, I think Miami is back. I think they're coming back. I want to be a part of that. Like the U, and then throw back to, you know, Michael Irvin, Andre Johnson, like Willis McGahee, Sean Taylor, Ed Reed. Like, if people felt like the U was really coming back, like if they go and win the ACC, go 11-1 or something like that, people will be like, uh-oh, like Miami will become sexy. USC will become sexy. Texas can become sexy. Like you said, they have the boosters. They have the money. So with the transfer portal, they can get guys in that can play right now. It's not all development. You saw what Mel Tucker did at Michigan State. If he can do that at Michigan State, imagine what you could do at Texas, Miami, or USC. With more financial backing and a sexier place to go. Like, there's nothing sexy about fucking East Lansing, Michigan. Nothing.
And I think that this could actually, Zach, drive us to an 18 playoff. Because if those three teams are really, really good, you know, 11-1, 10-2, whatever, and they're, you know, finishing like 6-9, there's going to be money and pressure maybe to open this thing up to an 18 playoff. And you could get like Ohio State, Alabama, Notre Dame, Miami, USC, Texas, all them in the playoff kind of at the same time. I mean, that would be so good for college football. And it reminds me of like back playing the old video games. I mean, I think this is so good for college football. And it's interesting because I didn't think that the NIL would kind of allow the spreading of talent the way it has. But I think because these old schools, because these former blue bloods, like in the early 2000s, have so much money and have big time boosters, I think it's allowed them to get their foot back in the door and really push ahead. And I think this is really good for college football. And I expect all three of those teams to be top 15 teams when the season ends next year. And I think that is very, very good for college football.
Yeah, it's great for the parity is great for college football. But I will say this, Mark Rogers threw out a stat at me the other day, and it kind of blew my mind. And it's why recruiting is so important at the highest level, right? Not just recruit. We all know recruiting is important, but how important it is that if Miami wants to, you know, make a playoff, they need to be a top five class, because the parity, their differential in a recruit's rating, basically an individual recruit in a class. Like Kentucky had the 13th recruiting class in the country. The difference between them and Texas A&M's number one class, so 12 spots down, not that far down, was the same differential as 13 to 75. So the drop-off from the very, very top, the elite, the best of the best, is sharp after about four or five.
Yeah, the drop-off at four is like that break point.
Right. So if you don't have
multiple top five classes to kind of...
Yeah, you have to. You have to have back-to-back-to-back top five classes. Like the number four class in the country 3 years in a row, you got a chance to be a really fucking good team. Now you better develop them and coach them, get a couple kids out of the portal, and hopefully you can have that chemistry and culture to push it over the edge. If you have the eighth best recruiting class 3 years in a row, good luck. You ain't getting there. Like, you don't have a talented enough team. You could coach your ass off, scheme people up. You're going to play teams with better personnel than you, and that you lose. I mean, you might sneak a win here or there once in a blue moon against a team like that, but you're not going to beat three in a row to win a conference championship, win a playoff semifinal, and win the national championship. You're not going to beat three in a row on some fluke shit. You better have the best team in the country, the best coached, best developed, most talented to win it all.
Right. I do want to dig in that a little bit more, because I wonder about the weight of quarterbacks as well. Because, you know, there's such a finite number of quarterbacks out there. And so you wonder about, you know, that ninth race ranked quarterback versus the 13th ranked, and then also the transfer portal weight in there as well, because USC now has the number one transfer portal class kind of in the country, and I want to see kind of the data points on that after they play this season, because I think they could have a really good season, and I am curious to see kind of how that the transfer portal classes kind of rank and restack things and reshuffle things, because Michigan State didn't have wasn't really stacking top five classes, but they were kind of pretty close to the playoff because they were able to have a really good transfer portal class.
Yeah,
so I am curious to see how that factors in as well.
And it's one thing to flirt with playoffs, right? It's one thing to be on the cusp or even make it in. It's another thing to be competitive in the playoffs.
Right. Right. We've seen fours get boat raced all the time.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen teams get boat raced a bunch, and it's like, okay, they were a playoff team, but they weren't. I know they made the playoffs, but they weren't a playoff team, right? They just, you know, by situation, by you know, chips falling, they found themselves in the playoffs, but they weren't a playoff team, right? And it's kind of how Michigan was this year. I think Michigan was kind of that team that they weren't ready for that yet, for that level of competition, but they, you know, found themselves there and then got their ass whooped. Like, that happens. So I'm more talking about a playoff caliber, a competitive playoff team, not just a team that makes the playoffs, right?
Like a threat to win the title.
Right. Could win it all. Right, like Ohio State in 2014, not the one seed, not the best team in the country, people thought, but we went in there and it's like, that team is good enough to win it all. And all they had to do was beat Bama, right? We beat Bama, we go, Oregon was never going to be a game because they were completely overrated. So all we had to do was beat Alabama, win one game, and then we're going to win it all as long as we, you know, well, shit, we almost did screw it up against Oregon. Cardell gave him the ball like 100 times, but never mind that.
Yeah, never mind that. National champs, big time. I do want to ask, Zach, it is Super Bowl Sunday, so I'm going to be tossing up these matchups to you, stuff that I'm really, like, ready to sink my teeth in. I do have an appearance on a on a morning show coming up on Friday, and they asked me to like detail some matchups that I really liked. And the one that I've just been thinking about kind of all week, Jalen Ramsey versus Ja'Marr Chase, Zach. How excited are you for this?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome because Jalen Ramsey is the best corner in the league. And that's even if you look on Pro Football Focus, like he's the highest graded corner in the National Football League. He's number one with an 85% grade. Just he's been outstanding. He's given up as many touchdowns as he has interceptions, four touchdowns, four picks. And he's up for the challenge. He is that alpha dog, right? When you talk about a guy that is an alpha that will back down from no one, will accept any challenge and meet it head on, he's that guy. Right. He is that guy. And he immediately, when the Super Bowl was decided, the two teams were decided, he immediately was like, I want to cover Ja'Marr Chase. He basically went out and said it. He's mine. I got him. Like, and we'll see what he does. Cause in my opinion, Jalen Ramsey's playing at the highest level. He's maximized. He's at his peak. He is playing the best football he'll ever play. Ja'Marr Chase is just scratching the surface, which is terrifying to think about because he has the second most receiving yards in the NFL. The second most yards per reception, it's over 17 yards per reception. Cooper Kupp, who's was the most productive. He won the Triple Crown. We talked about it several times. Most touchdowns, most catches, most yards. But they throw it to him all the time. I mean, he has 69 more catches than Ja'Marr Chase. He averages 4 yards less per catch, right? It's so and as, so as well as Cooper like Kupp is doing,
he's a long-time player.
He is fed. He's getting fed. And Ja'Marr Chase, what he's doing, having only scratched the surface, is just crazy to think about how high this kid's ceiling is. So it's going to be an awesome matchup. I mean, the best corner in the NFL going against probably definitely a top three receiver this year. I think I would go Debo, Cooper Kupp, and him were the top three this season, especially when you look at it analytically. Debo led the league in yards per reception at 18, almost 18 yards per catch. He also lined up at running back. He's the most versatile player in the NFL. So I think Debo's one, Cooper Kupp two, Ja'Marr Chase three. But it's going to be exciting to watch. Anytime you get a top two or three matchup against another top two or three player, especially in a team that's going to play man. I mean, they're going to hope Jalen Ramsey can just take him out of the game. That's going to be their game plan. And if he can, they'll probably win the Super Bowl. If he can't and Ja'Marr Chase feasts, Cincinnati might win the whole fucking thing.
I think Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow are the ultimate equalizer. Because I've always said that wide receiver play is like the three ball of the NFL. If your wide receiver can take over a game, like when that three ball gets hot, you can beat just about anybody. And we've seen them do that a numerous amount of times this year. I'll say this. Ja'Marr Chase is the most talented wide receiver in the National Football League, period. He's not the most productive yet, but he's still, you know, kind of polishing up and kind of working on getting to where he can get. I think Cooper Kupp's the best right now, but in terms of pure talent, it's Ja'Marr Chase, and he's going up against a corner who's at the peak of his power, and I'm super excited because, like you said, they're going to play a lot of man. They're going to ask Jalen Ramsey to take him out of the game, and if Jalen Ramsey can't, it's going to get real weird here because Then what do you do if you're the Rams? Do you try to help Jalen Ramsey, or do you move Jalen Ramsey over to the number two receiver and then kind of and double Ja'Marr Chase? Like it's going to be a chess match and one of the matchups I'm looking forward to. And it's kind of a historic matchup because not often do we get the most talented wide receiver in all of football going up against probably the best corner in all of football as well. So Zach, I'm really excited. Are you into the other Super Bowl stuff too? Like, do you have like a favorite commercial? Do you into the festivities? Do you like do a party or anything? Like what's your Super Bowl routine look like?
Well, you know what? I've always just watched it with my son, literally since the beginning of time. And I don't have him this year because they added a week or something happened where it's like a week later. I don't. It's usually been
17 game schedule.
So that's what did it. The 17 game schedule fucked everything up. Now I can't watch it with my kid. I'm actually still might get him. We'll see if my ex-wife allows that, which I highly doubt, but he's really wants to. So that's what I've always done. This will be the first time that I didn't have my oldest son to watch it with. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been invited to a couple things. I was invited to a big party out in LA, but I'm not going, obviously. But I don't know. We've just enjoyed the game. Enjoyed the commercials. I can't think of one off the top of my head that I really loved, but I don't remember stuff like that.
The Doritos one. Well, I have steel trap memory. We've talked about this a couple times. The Doritos one. He's like, "Don't touch my mama and don't touch my Doritos." And the kid smacks his stepdad.
Yeah, that was. I remember that one. That one was really good. There's been some good ones. Really good ones that I've enjoyed. I'm excited for the halftime show, though. What are you talking about? This is my wheelhouse, bro. Dre, Snoop, Eminem. Like back in the day, back in my college days.
Oh, wait. I got some ultimate foreshadowing. So when Joe Burrow was a senior in high school, all of the players dyed their hair that bleach blonde. And there was a couple comments about like the real Slim Shady. And now here we are, seven years later, and he's playing the Super Bowl that Joe Burrow is going
to
be playing.
Well, and here's another thing to think about, right, Chris? With Matt Stafford being the quarterback in the Super Bowl and Eminem performing at halftime, this is Detroit's closest thing they'll ever get to being in the Super Bowl. Like, they have to be excited, right? Detroit is represented. True. Matt Stafford and Eminem. Now, it's in L.A., and it's for the Rams, but fuck it. It's close, right? You got something to root for. My sister lives in Detroit. She's a huge Lions fan, her and her husband. And so they now, I gave her my girlfriend's jersey because she had an Odell jersey. And so they are on Super Bowl Sunday, they're going to wear a Matt Stafford Detroit Lions jersey and an Odell Browns jersey to support the transplants. So the Browns and Detroit Tigers have made the Super Bowl, kind of.
Just about. Oh, wait, quick question, Zach. I saw Colin Cowherd talking about it. If Matt Stafford wins this Super Bowl, should he be remembered historically as a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers?
No. I mean he'd have a lot to accomplish to be remembered better than Aaron Rodgers? No. He's in that conversation though, and people never gave him credit or gave him that right or that respect when he was in Detroit because Detroit was so bad. But he's got to have success for several years moving forward to enter that conversation, in my opinion.
Zach, he'll probably finish his career with more 4,000 yard passing seasons, and the same amount of rings. Just saying.
Yeah, you just said a key word there. He might, and the other side
right
of
now
that,
he has more. Right now he has more 4,000 yard passing seasons than
Aaron. But he doesn't have a ring.
Yeah, not yet. You're right.
Right, and Aaron Rodgers certainly might win another one. So that's what I'm saying. The conversation is premature, I think. And not only that, they were so bad in Detroit. They were down all the time. That sumbitch had to throw it every play. They didn't have Barry Sanders back there running the football. I mean, it's just situationally different, right? Aaron Rodgers plays for a great team, and they have been a great team for X amount of years. And they play good defense. They have a strong running game. It's not just Aaron Rodgers fighting for his life to win games down 7-14 every week.
Yeah, sounds like you're making the case for Matt Stafford here, and I love it.
I'm not. I'm not making the case for Matt Stafford. I'm saying Aaron Rodgers is the better quarterback. Matt Stafford was in a situation that might have given him more opportunities to throw for yards. I could give two fucks about yards. Aaron Rodgers is the better player, and Matt Stafford has a lot to prove to overtake that, in my opinion, which what the fuck do I know?
Absolutely nothing. You're just a podcaster, right?
Right. Just a podcaster talking about shit.
Well, Zach, I have nothing else to talk about today.
It's cool. Well, I appreciate everybody for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with our hometown hero. I got a couple submissions, but I need more. Get out there at Menace to Sports on Twitter. Send us your either DM it or just tweet it out. Who should we challenge to be a hometown hero? I have a couple options, but I want to know who you want. So drop that on Twitter. Let us know who we should call, what hometown we should call. And we'll continue these conversations, Chris. I enjoy them. I appreciate you. Appreciate everybody listening. We will see you, and I guess you will hear us. You won't see us. You will hear us tomorrow. Menace out.